This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good morning, DFW. Sean and RJ 105 through the Fan. I'm RJ Choppy. He's Bobby Belt, Peyton and Aiden alongside. Sean's on paternity leave. Final day. He'll be back on Monday.
Yeah.
And you know.
But then he will be gone again at some point.
We are ramping up for the NFL draft. We have Draft
101. April 17th. Doors open at 6:45. It is our staple event. With you, the Tolo, it's Draft 101 in our fan showroom, 4131 North Central Expressway in Dallas. Our Super Bowl winning scout, Brian Broaddus, Zach Wolchuk, and myself team up with DallasCowboys.com for a night of draft talk, debate, and questions. Not only that, dinner's going to be on us thanks to Whataburger, plus plenty of giveaways. Completely free. We cannot wait to see you guys for Draft 101 on your home of the Cowboys, 105 through the Fan. Again, that is April 17th. Doors open at 6:45. No sign-up is required. You just show up, and you can come on in and talk draft with all of us.
And that's April 17th.
Yes, sir.
Very cool. Very cool. And that's all downstairs. So let's get to this here. I saw this story yesterday. So Michael Malone was fired by the Nuggets. And there is a report from Sam Amick of The Athletic that Russell Westbrook may have been the reason why. That his desire to keep playing Westbrook instead of 25-year-old Jalen Pickett, where he had played much better than Westbrook at times.
Yeah.
Caused them to lose some games they shouldn't have lost. They dropped like 7 of 10. And that they believe he may have been the reason why they moved on.
They lost that game the other night to Minnesota because Russ.
Yeah, he picked up a foul like late.
The 60-point triple-double.
Yeah.
Russ blows the layup, and then he comes back down and he fouls on the three. And so
This is still one of the crazier stories that I can remember with a coach 3 games before the playoffs.
Why tie yourself to Russell Westbrook in 2025? It's like, this is what I'm going down
in
with.
2013? Sure.
Yeah, but I mean, 2025, you're going, I want to hitch myself to Russell Westbrook. It's like, this is the job. This is the take that I'll go down with. This is what I'm wanting right here. That's just bizarre to me.
Yeah, it is bizarre. It's strange, but that's where they are. Now they they got their first win.
If Jason Kidd quit at the end of the season.
Which he might.
He might. Would you be interested in Michael Malone?
Yes, I think he's a really good coach. PJ Carlissimo said the other day, like, this dude is not a good coach. He is a great coach. Like, he is fantastic.
No, I think he's really, really good.
I would sign for him in a heartbeat.
Now, how would he interact with Mavericks front office or anything else? I don't know.
I don't know.
Does he eat nothing but players? Yeah, does he eat nothing but vegetables like Nico wants?
Yeah, that's what Nico wants.
It just kind of depends.
Yeah, with no seasoning. Because that is calories, and that's going to make you gain weight.
He wants zero calories.
Yeah, pepper only, just pepper.
Yeah, he wants zero calories. He wants you to greet him in the name of his lord and father, Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
And, you know, say all that stuff. That's all Nico Harrison wants from his employees.
What did you see on the Athletic's website?
Dude, this is a really interesting article here from the Athletic. Sam Amick and David Aldridge worked together on this. And it's kind of an inside look at how Mark Cuban was cut out of the decision-making tree in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
But in the process of it, you start to understand a little bit more of the things that pushed Nico Harrison to, or didn't push him, the things Nico Harrison pushed for to move on from Luka Doncic and some of the fallout from that, and gives us a better look at Patrick Dumont and how things have come together there for him. When the Dallas Mavericks left for the longest road trip of their season in late January, the team's franchise player wasn't with them. Luka Doncic had suffered a calf strain in a game on Christmas Day and still wasn't right more than a month later. The sliding Mavericks wanted Doncic to continue his rehabilitation around the team during their 5-game, 10-day road trip. But Doncic preferred to stay home and work with his medical experts. Front office officials tried to communicate with Doncic about a plan to get him back on the court, but discussions between the two sides were spotty. Doncic believed he had suffered the calf strain by trying to come back from a previous injury too soon. His group decided it didn't make sense for him to be with the team. Not only would plane rides invite a possible setback, but he would also be able to maximize his workouts in Dallas rather than going from city to city during the trip. The decision frustrated team executives, according to league sources, and it wasn't the first time the superstar and the organization had clashed. So one of the things they talk about here is this sort of thing had happened in the past and it didn't matter because Mark Cuban always had his back. And so disagreements were never really disagreements. Right. But this basically became the final nail in the coffin for Nico going, I'm trading him.
Just the fact that he
didn't want to go on the road trips while he was rehabbing from an injury. He thought it was more efficient to stay back in Dallas to rehab it.
So how common is it to go on the road trips then? I mean,
I don't know, but if you have a strained calf, I completely see why not wanting to jump on a plane every other day and wanting to just focus on rehab in one specific spot. I could see how people think we'll get back faster if we do it this way rather than jumping around and doing all the different travel. This seems like this is once more another thing that shows they're stupid. They don't know what the hell they're doing over there.
I would have to go see how common it is to take road trips. Like, did Kobe take all the road trips when he was recovering from his Achilles?
Probably, if that's what Nico Harrison wanted, because that's what Nico Harrison always wants.
You know, when LeBron is not playing, if he's hurt, is he making all the road trips with the Lakers?
The Athletic writes, Harrison had doubts about the wisdom of investing in the 26-year-old Doncic long-term, according to multiple team league sources, and the decision to skip the trip reiterated what Harrison already believed, the Mavericks would be better off without him. Doncic returns to Dallas on Wednesday for the first time since the widely criticized February 1st megatrade. This was written the day before the Mavericks game. It says, the Athletic spoke to more than 10 team and league sources who were granted anonymity to be able to freely discuss the deal. Much of the post-deal criticism has fallen on Harrison, the former Nike executive who worked closely with Kobe Bryant. Harrison sees the basketball world through Bryant's singular Mamba mentality vision, and he believed that Doncic's off-the-court habits, including his lack of conditioning, would cause him not to realize his full potential. Harrison reported directly to Mark Cuban at first, but after the Doncic trade occurred, it became clear which of the two had the decision-making juice now. And that was clearly Nico Harrison. On February 2nd, this is still wild to consider. On February 2nd, Harrison made his only public comments about the Doncic trade, citing culture and defense as the rationale behind his decision. 1 week later, Mavericks governor and Sands Corp chief operating officer Patrick Dumont spoke publicly about the move for the first time, telling the Dallas Morning News, if you want to take a vacation, don't do it with us. Gosh, they're so stupid.
Wait, what?
If you want to take a vacation, don't do it with us. Basically talking about you're not fully committed doing the work consistently.
If you want to take it, like, is he saying like him not going on the road trips was him taking a vacation?
They're saying that was when he mentioned that, because we all played the comments at the time, that was a reference to him not being on the road trips with them.
Yeah, that's not a vacation, dude. Like, is he in Cabo?
Right.
If he was in Uptown at a massage parlor getting his calf worked on, that's not a vacation. That's rehab.
I mean, that's their issue. They cannot see things other than through the lens of what they believe is absolutely like, nope, this is our standard and this is the way it's got to be done. And so
this is criminal. No, this is criminal.
Criminal negligence. The Mavericks didn't trade Doncic because he chose not to accompany them on a trip, but as Dallas set out for the 5 games in 10 days, Harrison chose to continue the secret discussions he'd already begun with Pelinka. After the Mavericks split their first 2 games of the trip, beating the New Orleans Pelicans on January 29th and falling to the Detroit Pistons 2 nights later, Harrison recommended pulling the trigger. Dumont agreed to it. People who have worked with him in his other businesses said he is known to trust those he has empowered. He wants to understand his employees' thought process before a course of action is taken, but more often than not, he supports his lieutenant's recommendations if they have more expertise than he does. He trusted Harrison, who he believed had amassed more than enough intelligence over the last couple of years to make this choice. I don't know how many teams, quote, I don't know how many teams saw the same thing Nico saw, a league source not involved in the trade discussion said. And then the other pieces, the PJ Washingtons that he put together, they go to the freaking finals, right? So I don't know what you think of your general manager and your few months experience with him, but you probably think he's got a gift that he's good at this. So that was one of the, and they talked about how the finals really underscored for Nico how upset he was with Luka. When he saw Luka struggle against Boston, it said the finals reinforced Harrison's concerns about Doncic's maturity, and less than 8 months later, Doncic was with the Lakers. Mavericks fans have been unceasing in their criticism of both the idea and execution of the trade. However, Harrison has held firm.
Franklin Franklin, injury attorneys, fan text 877-881-1053. It wasn't a mega trade, it was a mega giveaway. Lakers were his choice the entire time. I don't care if the Mavs leave unless ownership changes. They do not care about the fans. I've heard nothing from Michael Finley. What did he have to say about this? Luka said it's time to move on. Stop turning to first take. It's really hard to listen to. Like, stop talking about the Mavericks. Nobody cares about the Mavs anymore. They are a waste of a segment. Any chance Nico is paid off by Pelinka for this trade?
I don't think so.
Wow. Dude, some of the stuff that's in here, they talk about Patrick Dumont. Dumont, the husband of Miriam Adelson's daughter, is the family's man on the ground. They say he grew up in Brooklyn, worked in investment banking before beginning his career at Sands Corp. In 2010, he has presented himself as a basketball fanatic. Remember that was what we heard him?
Yeah.
He was just like, oh, he
knows everything about basketball, yeah.
But the reality, according to some who've dealt with him in the 16 months since he's run the Mavericks, is that while he may indeed love the sport, he's a neophyte in the ways of the NBA. In an interview at a luncheon last offseason, Dumont awkwardly referred to the finals as, quote, the championship games. One league source said, Patrick doesn't know basketball, and he knows he doesn't.
I don't care because of the championship games.
You should. If I called the World Series, if I said we got to the championship games, you would be like, that guy doesn't know baseball.
I think you're reading into it.
No, dude.
I think you're reading into it.
No, hell no. We all call it's the Stanley Cup. It's the NBA Finals. It's the World Series. It's the Super Bowl. If you call any of them the championship games, you don't know what the hell you're talking about.
You don't have to say he made it to the Stanley Cup. You can say he made it to the finals in hockey.
The finals, but not the championship games. Nobody calls it that. I think it's an indicator he doesn't know what he's talking about.
I don't think that's an indicator of anything.
Let us know in the fan text if that's an indicator. 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. Is that nitpicking or does that show the guy doesn't know what he's talking about? He doesn't know. You call it the championship games. That's ignorant. And he is ignorant. Completely.
Patrick Dumont's a moron. I'm not sticking up for Patrick Dumont here. I made that perfectly clear. I'm just saying I don't give a crap about that. What you call it.
You know, they say, according to team sources, Miriam Adelson has been at two Mavericks events this entire season. She was at a preseason dinner. She spent largely engaged in conversation with Kyrie Irving and the Christmas Day game against the Minnesota Timberwolves, which was the last time Doncic wore a Dallas uniform. Absolutely. This whole thing here is just the more and more every time a story comes out, the more you're just disgusted by this team, this organization. And oh my gosh, the picture. I want you to.
Is this the cartoon?
No, just here, come stand up and walk around and look at this picture. Right. It makes me sick to look at. It's this picture of Patrick Dumont just kind of like trying to awkwardly tap Dirk on the shoulder. And Dirk just looking at the camera like, who the hell is this guy that's touching me?
he's a bit of a tool.
I mean, this entire organization is. 682 says Bobby, you're reaching per usual.
It's actually pretty split.
No, I know. I was reading it as they came down.
It's actually pretty split on the fan text.
He's an idiot who doesn't know the game, says another 682. Patty don't know S, says the 469. I heard he orders his steaks well done. Well, that's Patty Mahomes who does that, not Patty Dumont. But
yeah, I don't know.
817, finals is a lot easier to say than the championship game.
It is. It is a lot easier to say. Finals is what I would call it, but what the hell do I know? I'm an idiot anyway. Sean and RJ here.
But you wouldn't have traded Luka.
I would not have traded Luka. That's for dang sure. What is the latest Cowboys draft intel? We're 2 weeks away. Less than 2 weeks now. We'll play Eric Chiafalo's diss track at Bobby Belt. We got the junk drawer. We got a ticket giveaway. It is the commercial-free expressway, and it is next on The Fan.
Is open, carried into the zone by Josh Morrissey.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Anderson goes with Connor, shoots and scores, and he's got 40, and it's 4-0 Winnipeg.
Jets TV with the call. Stars lose 4-0 to the Winnipeg Jets. Last NHL team to be shut out in a game this year is your Dallas Stars. Came at a pretty bad time, as they really needed this one if they had any hopes of winning the Central. They lose 4-0 to Winnipeg. Connor Hellebuck is going to win the Vezina again, and he was fantastic. And they were more physical. They were the more physical team. They had 44 hits to the Stars, 27. The Stars were careless, 26 giveaways to 9. That ain't how you do it.
Yeah, what is this now? This is in the last...
Four straight defeats.
And so what? It's the last 69 minutes of ice time, roughly, that they've been outscored 8-0.
Nice.
Right?
Not nice, but nice.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. Yeah, it's bad. Now, fortunately, they do have home ice because Colorado lost. So they will face, they know who they're going to face, and they know they're going to have the home ice advantage. So that's good. That's good.
Some notes from Gavin Spittle, the Spits and Suds host, the most popular DFW hockey podcast going. Said Winnipeg wanted to be physical. He said they mentioned in the postgame how the Jets had 44 hits. The Stars had 27. Stars continue to be careless with the puck. And the 26 giveaways compared to the 9 for the Jets. Did you just reference that?
I literally just read that.
I didn't hear you say. I heard you say the first part. What do you want from me?
It's Friday after 6 a.m.
That's right. That's right. I mean, I don't have anything. There's nothing I can say.
I love you.
Other than just, I clearly did. I clearly didn't dare it.
Put you on G-Bag for not knowing what's going on.
I know. Awesome. I know, exactly. That's like a Chris Young interview.
Jamie Benn's scoreless streak is up to 13 games.
Stars also, lose. The Jets last night had 44 hits, yeah. And the Stars only had 27.
Man, I got to write a diss track for you now.
I know.
So, what happened here?
Okay, so, all right. This
forced me at around, 4 o'clock?
Something like 4:20. Of course, the nosebleeds would drop to 4:20. Right?
This forced me to go to the fan text of the house.
Oh, yeah, you were logging in. You're like, I got to see what the reaction is here.
And I got to just say, all right, I just got to say this. The morning show, Tolos, y'all that are up this early, y'all blow it away on the fan text compared to every other show.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even close.
Oh, 817 says I'm still shook from the diss track.
And okay.
That's why I just repeated that there. This all started, actually where this really started was opening day. This all started on opening day when we were doing our different Rangers songs, and I did mine. And in the course of trying to edit it during the break, I left a stumble in.
What was that stumble thing?
Yeah, that's it. All right. So Peyton just running that into the ground for the next 24 hours got me angry. And so I was like, all right, I'm gonna diss Peyton. I'm just choppy too in the process because Chop was egging it on. He was asking for the drop basically every segment. Yeah.
What drop?
So he was asking for that drop every segment. So I said, okay, all right, I'm letting them have it. So I covered Kendrick Lamar's Not Like Us.
Sure, you did.
Let y'all have it. It was very popular on G-Bag during the G-Bag of the day. It had won 4 days in a row, and it was going for five time. Well, when it got
five time, five time, five time,
five time status, five time. When it was going for the five time status, that's a big deal. You get entered for G-Bag of the year. Now, occasionally, Dawson will give honorary status to stuff that doesn't make it five time, or if there's like a really good clip playing that day, but they're like, man, this is worthy of five time, so we're gonna go ahead and enshrine it now. And so I had gotten to four time. Dawson and Broadus were prepared to vote for me to give me five time, and then Zach and Eric and Ross Lubinsky, Russ as you call him,
Russ,
voted against me, and I was mad. And so, due to my anger, I said, "All right, you're going to make me honorary." Because they tried to say you made it as honorary five times. I was like, "Yeah, you named me a Pro Bowl replacement as an injury, like an injury replacement. I don't accept that. I wanted to get the votes. I wanted to get the accolades. And now that you took that from me, I needed to write a diss track towards Zach and Eric, and that's what I did."
It had to be you guys.
Had to be
the nosebleeds. I thought we were cool. Okay.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
Stop and blare this music as I get into my story time. Zach and Eric blew it when they stopped Young Belted just for time. Burned a bit to know that they would go and pick a fight with me. I'll tourniquet these hoes because I know just how to stop a bleed. Let me start with Wolchuk and I'll send him to his mommy's arms. He thinks that he's LeBron, but let's be honest, can't play Bronny's part. Rhymes that hit so hard, he'll probably leave here with a busted lip. I'll post that shit on YouTube and I'll title it a custom vid.
Damn.
Got me feeling like Etu Brute. Bet the issue go five times and you have to hear it every day. Got that nostril plug, now the other one is trying to bleed. I forgot his name, like he's out here repping Micah P. Does he ever talk? I just don't know how Brody got this far. Probably should go back to selling all those busted lemon cars. G-Bag of the decade, get your vote right, she a follow, and get the EpiPen because these nuts you about to
I did it like that. Which, by the way, that is the current reigning three-time G-Bag of the Day champion, which those jackasses Zach and Eric keep saying they're going to vote for it to get up to four time, and then they're going to honorary it again, is what they say they're going to do. Oh my gosh, I would lose.
It's good.
That's what I dropped. I dropped it because I felt like I'm punching down. I'm punching down at these fools. I know they have no rhythm. They don't ever get into the lab. They don't ever drop tracks. And so I felt like, all right, I'm going to be pretty safe.
Yeah.
Oh, was I wrong? I was wrong.
You were wrong. So they came hard.
Zach and Eric got together. Now Eric actually put himself out there and did some vocals. Zach was too much of a coward to actually step up there and do it. And so Zach and Eric worked together on some vocals. I found out later Eric's brothers contributed a little bit. You'll hear some beautiful harmony from them, his two musically inclined brothers who just put it over the top. But they came up with their own diss track. If you want to see the lyrics, you can go to the fan cam, because there was a whole little music video that went with it, with the little Arthur Fist meme and my fat head sitting on top of it. But yesterday, Eric dropped his diss track, and this was his reply to me.
The best of the Bahamas. Bobby belting out his feelings, now he's coming for the crown. All we do is lift him up, he just wanna bring us down. How quickly he forget we were the only ones around, when Bob was spitting takes off from his basement underground. The bleeders put him on and the Tolos turned him off, cause Dax is baby boo, he ain't even Jared Goff. Quit lying about the golf, petty little female, I'll call you Laura Croft. Your family in a law, boy get them girls a house. If anyone deserves it, Bob, you know it is your spouse. So stop with all the drama. Nosebleed seats don't even wanna. Cause all of us would hate to see you end up like your mama.
Bam.
Oh!
She's dead.
She's dead. Here's the harmony.
You can see your me with them T's days without peace. You ain't got no J-O-B. Here comes B.O.B. with them T's days without bleeds. You ain't got no J-O-B.
Come on, B.O.B., get off the D and catch some D's, cause we know it, the show is better when your weak ass oversleep. Stay in bed, boy, I don't wanna hear a beat. Better not wake the Wooly Bully, a.k.a. the Beast. Shout out Shaw Sharif, RJ Choppy, Pepe Russell, them the boys we wanna keep.
Woo!
It's a bop, man.
Wow.
It's a bop. It's strong.
That's strong.
It's strong. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. It's a strong track. Look. I think that there's a little bit to it that's a little bit like he just did the Clarence. Clarence's parents because he, what'd you do? You already told people something they knew about me. Like I dropped those jokes myself all the time. So it was a valiant effort,
man.
It was good. It was a good track.
That's really solid. That's solid. Cause you know, he went, it was, I've never heard Eric harmonize something like that before.
I mean, that was his brothers really cared. his brothers are good singers.
They are. Yeah. They are. But I mean, he harmonized well. That's fantastic work.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Now, see, the fan text is coming in. They go, Bobby, he won this. You better come back. 940, Bobby just got smoked. 682, okay, so much better than yours, Bobby, which is saying a lot because yours was good. That's definitely going 5-time. That was fire. Bobby single-handedly took all 4 of them down. See, that's the thing. This is, I did myself, and I beat them up. And they did 4, and they couldn't even equal it up.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Because it takes 5, I guess, to replace Jeff Kavanaugh.
You're going to... You're going to have to do another one.
I don't know. Because Zach has really wanted me not to do another one.
Oh.
Because Zach was just like, please don't, because I don't think we have anything left to write.
Well, what was that? What was Zach's role in that?
He wrote. He helped write it.
Oh, he helped write.
But
so
he needed
gets
to,
a writing credit.
He needed
cool.
at least need to do like designer and come with some ad libs. Like he should have been going, grah! Yeah. But he didn't even give us that. He couldn't come in and give us anything.
No,
like,
he needed to do that.
That would have been perfect. That's if he good. Just would have been in there with some ad libs.
All right, Bobby Belt, this track, Eric Chiafalo.
It's strong.
Track,
it is good.
Wow, very nice. Very nice. Okay, what's the latest draft intel we have?
Okay, so over at ESPN, and we're getting closer and closer to the NFL draft. I still think, we talked to Nick Harris yesterday, he thinks right now that where this is heading is that we're going to get Tet McMillan as the Cowboys pick at number 12. That's depending on if he's there or not. But ESPN has collected all the different draft intel and had all their beat writers weigh in on where things stand currently with each team. Mm-hmm. So the Dallas Cowboys, who currently have picks number 12, 44, 76, and then a slew of day 3 picks. So the question posed to Todd Archer was, what is the most telling thing team owner Jerry Jones has said about the Cowboys' draft plans? And Todd says, when it comes to the draft, Jones has kept all options open. He believes the depth in this class matches up with the Cowboys' needs. He doesn't believe they need to force a pick at a particular spot, so at least when it comes to the first round, the Cowboys can take the best player available. That would be a cornerback, wide receiver, offensive lineman, defensive lineman, or even running back. Quote, there's exceptions to every plan, and the draft brings that concept out really well, he said. That's from Todd. So then Jordan Reed, their draft analyst, it says, what are we hearing about the Cowboys draft? And Jordan says, the Cowboys have been open about needing an explosive receiver opposite CeeDee Lamb, with Matthew Golden being heavily linked to them at the number 12 pick. Matthew Golden from the University of Texas actually visited with the Cowboys yesterday. He posted a picture on his Instagram of him hanging out with Jerry Jones. But it says running back is also a need for Dallas. While there has been talk about the Cowboys taking Omarion Hampton from North Carolina at number 12, it seems more likely they'll use their second round pick on a runner. The team has expressed interest in Ohio State running backs Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins in that spot. So I would be, first off, I'm very surprised Jordan Reed completely skipped over mentioning Tetero McMillan, because I think they've been linked to him more than they have Matthew Golden. But I mean, I guess they had Jordan do the analyze instead of Todd, who's actually here on the ground with boots on the ground. I think that Tet McMillan makes the most sense to me right now, the receiver from Arizona.
So that would be, like, if you had anyone you could take, you know, obviously within reason, like, you know, Travis Hunter doesn't fall.
Yeah. I think if they're given who I anticipate will probably be there.
So let's say Tet, Will Campbell, Membu.
Membu and Campbell would be sleepers. So Membu.
Who's the edge from?
Mykel Williams from Georgia?
No, the other one.
Which Mike Green from Marshall? Jalen Walker from Georgia. Jalen Walker's kind of a tweener. I don't know how they'd view him.
Okay.
I don't know if they'd be like, we need somebody. Like, I think Mykel Williams from Georgia could be a sleeper that they might look at, because they've shown a lot of interest in him during the process. Matthew Golden's a good player. Matthew Golden is a speedster. He's really impressive. He reminds me of Henry Ruggs, in, not like off the field, but on the field. And so, like, I wouldn't mind having him opposite CeeDee Lamb. It's just that 12 might be a little rich for most people.
Okay.
McMillan was the number one receiver for forever. He was a top 5 pick, was considered pretty consistently, and it feels like people have gotten fatigued with him and have just grown tired. But, man, to me, if you tell me they get Tet McMillan in the first and Travion Henderson in the second, the Ohio State running back, I'm happy. There's very little you could do over the next few days that would upset me. I'd be pretty happy with that overall. Now,
As the fan tech says, they're going to take a linebacker with drop foot the second.
They've already got one, don't they? It's funny. When you look at the question of trading back, though, you know how we brought up that mm-hmm. question? Jason Light, who is the Buccaneers GM, he had said yesterday that he thinks fewer teams are actually going to try to trade up in the draft. This is what he had said on Thursday during a pre-draft press conference with reporters. He said, I do think this year is going to be, and he said, I could be wrong, you're going to see maybe a little less people wanting to move up and offering enough to make it worth your while, just because the draft is pretty leveled out at a certain point. You might be able to get the same level of play in the second round as you can in the fourth round at certain positions, so I think you'll maybe see a little bit less of that. And we've talked about, there may be for some teams like only 10 first-round picks this year. Like that they go, that's a first-round graded player. And once you get past that group, you're looking at the next 50 players kind of all being similarly graded to you. And so some teams are just like, what do I want to trade up for? Why would I want to go up? I can pick that same kind of player and not give anything up. And so that's right. Why Dallas is right there on the edge, where if McMillan slides to them, if a first-round pick slides to them, I think no matter what the position, if it's a first-round player, they're taking whoever that is. Because they're going, the value, this is the rarest value opportunity we're going to get in this draft is going to be right here. And that's why I think it could be McMillan, because I think McMillan is a genuine first-round player.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, and then, you know, the best player available versus need versus, I guess, the best player available at a position of value. Like, is that kind of the three different philosophies teams have need, best player available, or best player available at
a position of need,
position of value, or position of need, however
you blend the two of the Cowboys generally take a blend approach. So the Cowboys will go, they don't just strictly go best player. If the best player available is a quarterback, they're not taking him.
Right, unless it's like a certain draft.
But I mean, like this year they wouldn't, for instance. A couple years back when they took Taco Charlton, the only first-round graded player they had left on their board was Dalvin Cook, and they didn't take him because they had Zeke. They'd taken Zeke the year before. So they go, okay, well, that's the highest graded player we have, but we're not taking him here. And so they look generally for, all right, what's our position of need or can sort of be need? For instance, is tight end a need? No. Would they reach a point where maybe Tyler Warren would be so much better than what else is up there that they go, it's not necessarily a need, but we're not so secure in it that we can pass on the value here of how good he is. And so they kind of will blend the two concepts.
I'll be honest, like, could you not see a situation where you have both Warren and Ferg out there and, like, you have a Gronk Aaron Hernandez thing?
I mean, God, I hope you wouldn't have that.
I mean, on the field.
Yeah, on the field. Yeah, sorry. We're invoking Henry Ruggs and Aaron Hernandez.
That's a real advantage.
Yeah. No, that it is.
If you had Gronk.
They need a second dynamic pass catcher. If that's Tyler Warren, that's Tyler Warren.
If Tyler Warren's there, I would like to see him. I mean, I have no problem
I think they'd probably have enough guys graded close to him that they could go somewhere else. But yeah, if they were to trade down, for instance, and then they get white and Tyler Warren sitting there at 16, they may go there. That's clearly the best player left.
That's value. That's
that
high value.
Then go, all right, we got to take it. And so I think we could absolutely see that. 806, is Ollie Gordon not in the draft or is he Cheeks? No, he's not Cheeks. He's actually a really strong three-down running back. I think if the Cowboys haven't addressed running back by the third round, maybe, I could see him potentially being in play there for them.
Is he Cheeks?
That's a good question.
I like it. That's a good question. Okay, so now you right now expect them to stay.
My guess is they stay, and they stay. Best guess at this moment is they take Tetrarone McMillan. Which, if they do that, you should be dancing in the streets, Cowboys fans. That guy is a monster. He is so good, and to me, that's a multiple time Pro Bowler you're getting.
Look, I like him. My first choice would be I would take if he's available, Will Campbell,
because you want to solidify the trenches.
Yeah, if you want to move him to guard, move him to guard.
Which I think he can play either.
I feel like I'm becoming Michael Lombardi.
You are becoming Michael Lombardi.
He's like all these teams
want
to just draft a second wide receiver, yet they can't block the quarter. They can't block for the quarterback.
Maybe you'll become the GM of the Tennessee Volunteers, and then you guys can really be the same.
I would like to be the assistant GM because apparently you don't do anything, and I would like to have that job.
There you go. That's it. You like one of those Trey Young?
I can't move, man.
One of those Trey Young like honorary ones where you just. You really should.
I would
be.
Love to. I got a call. I was like, dude, let me help you guys recruit.
Honestly, be a brand. Like, you're in a high school recruiting hotbed.
Yes.
You're around the high school sports scene already. You can give them intel about, like, hey, this kid's playing baseball. He's got a football future. This kid needs to switch. I'm telling you guys. You could be eyes and ears. I don't know why Tennessee's not taking advantage of that.
They really need to. They really seriously, I could be like the GM, the assistant GM of the baseball team.
Be good.
We are the defending national champs.
You know how many people knew that?
I think a lot of people.
You probably.
I mean, it's College World Series big. Yeah,
people follow College World Series about as closely as they do the women's tournament.
You know UConn won. You know UConn won.
See, there's the difference. I actually know who won the women's tournament.
Oh, boy. Let's hook you up, boys and girls.
All right, Tolos, that's right. Call on number 10 right now at 877-881-1053 wins a four-pack of tickets to see the Arlington Renegades on Saturday, April 19th at Choctaw Stadium in Arlington. That's call on number 10 at 877-881-1053.
Sean and RJ here, 105.3 The Fan. Let us clean up the junk drawer.
Did you know that Benjamin Franklin invented the junk drawer?
Junk it!
Would this bother you? Now, I'm getting married this weekend.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So, this guy sends in a Dear Abby kind of thing. I'm sorry, no, it was the Am I the You Know What on Reddit. It was a 30-
Am I the bleep hole?
Yeah, he's a 30-year-old, and he said, this one's been eating at me. His wife-to-be, her name is Emily, previously married to a Tyler. Tyler died in a car accident 5 years ago. They had wed in their early 20s. They were truly in love.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to wear his wedding ring, her ex-husband's wedding ring. I shouldn't say ex-husband. Her husband.
Yeah.
Who died. She wants to wear his wedding ring like around her neck at her next wedding, which is the wedding that she's about to have with this guy.
Okay.
If you're the guy, he says he feels like he's in second place right now. Like he doesn't want her to wear this ring.
Man, that's tough, because I understand.
The more I sit with it, the more it bothered me. I finally told her how I felt. He said it was difficult to wrap my head around the idea of her wearing another man's wedding ring, even if he's gone.
Shoot. I don't know, because they died, you can't just erase the memory just because you got remarried. Now, here's what I'd say. I wouldn't have a problem if she... Which is worse? Wears the wedding ring to the ceremony and then doesn't wear it otherwise. Or doesn't wear it to your ceremony, it's y'all's day, but she wears the wedding ring as a necklace consistently.
I don't know. That's a good question. I guess,
if you're hung up on that's supposed to be our day, fine. But, like, I also don't have a problem with her just saying, like, I didn't break up with this man. I was in love with him when he died. Like, our love didn't cease.
Right. And, like, I mean, yeah, you are in second place, dude. Like, she chose him first.
Yeah. Honestly.
Like, she was, sorry. That was like, yeah, it's a fascinating.
I guess I would say this.
I would not have a problem with it. Go ahead and wear it.
However you cope with the loss of a loved one, I'm not going to tell you how to deal with that. Just like whenever anybody tells me, like, stop making jokes about your mom dying because my mom died. Okay, I'm sorry. You can cope with it how you want. I make jokes about it. Sorry.
Right. I'm the same way with my dad. I make jokes about my dad.
That's why we have that beautiful little heavenly half sibling.
Wonderful.
It's because.
Yes, that's exactly
my mom and your dad hooked up in heaven and created us a little angel baby.
Defiling each other up there in heaven.
Your dad's a freak, man. the stuff he's gotten my mom into.
Just, I mean, she plays with his back hair. It's really wild. I would not have a problem with it. I totally understand, like, if you're, you know, like...
If you're not comfortable with the way they memorialized somebody that they lost, then don't marry them. That would be my suggestion. But I think you're petty, and it's your problem that you have to get over.
I told Sarah, I said, you know, if I go before you, I said, you go ahead, do whatever you want. Just, you know, keep a shot glass there for me. Keep a poured shot right there.
There we go.
For the rest of time.
That's good.
Just keep a poured shot.
How much do you think that would start to, if it's just sitting ferment in the open? Yeah. Or when would it eventually just evaporate?
You think it would evaporate?
I don't know. Would it?
I have no idea. Does alcohol evaporate?
I don't know. Let's say you and Sarah were married. If you died, Would you want her to get remarried?
Sure, go ahead.
Peyton, would you want Mackenzie to get remarried?
Live your life.
I guess I wouldn't care. I mean, at that point.
That's why I said I want to die late. That way, like, she's too old to do anything.
I want to die
100. That way she's 90. Like, nobody's going to want to.
2 months before my mom died, this question came up with my mom and dad. Like, we just asked them. Like, hey, if one of you died, would you want the other one to get remarried? And so they both were like, they both said they would be okay with the other one getting remarried. But they also both said, like, I don't think we would. My dad did get remarried, though. Like, but they both thought they wouldn't.
Like, 3 weeks later, he got remarried.
I'd haunt her, though, for sure.
You'd haunt her. Yeah, you would haunt her.
You would be standing over their honeymoon bed just like, go. Go ahead. Apparently, you don't love me anymore.
What are you going to do?
Apparently, you don't love me.
Wow. I remember that.
That's exactly what it is. Now, speaking of death, maybe this is how you're going to die. Any of us. Or maybe you're going to be saved. You won't have to worry about it because of this new operation taking place in the United Kingdom. You remember the movie Minority Report?
Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Never saw it.
Okay, so Minority Report, it was a time in the future where, boy, AI had gotten so strong and the algorithms had gotten so strong. They were basically able to predict murder. And they had these little clairvoyant girls in jelly tubes that would, like, send them messages or something. It was a weird movie. But the whole idea was, we know when somebody's going to commit a murder, whether it's premeditated or it's a crime of passion. We know when somebody's going to do it, and we can bust in and stop it. And murder has been completely eliminated because of this. So the UK government is developing a, quote, murder prediction program, which it hopes can use personal data of those known to authorities to identify the people most likely to become killers. Researchers are alleged to be using algorithms to analyze the information of thousands of people, including victims of crime, as they try to identify those at greatest risk of committing serious violent offenses. The scheme was originally called the Homicide Prediction Project, but its name has been changed to, quote, sharing data to improve risk assessment, because that sounds much more Orwellian, I guess. The Ministry of Justice hopes this project will help boost public safety, but campaigners have called it chilling and dystopian. You, I imagine, would have a massive problem with this. Trying to basically create an algorithm that tells me, are you likely to be a murderer? All right, well, we're going to surveil you then.
I don't care. Surveil me all you want. I assume I'm under constant watch.
I think there's a difference, though, between, like, we're standing by waiting for the murder we think you're going to commit, so we're going to jump on you for anything.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, that's weird. I just assume I'm under, like, I assume the privacy is not a thing, like, at this point.
State Watch says data from people not convicted of any criminal offense will be used as part of the project, including personal information about self-harm and details relating to domestic abuse. What's also interesting about this, and they mentioned it a little bit there, victims of crimes are going to be added to this database. So they're worried about somebody getting, like, a retaliatory crime or somebody who got messed up by being victimized by something, and then how it changes the way that they're and how it makes them more likely to commit a murder. And so they're basically trying to predict if you're going to kill somebody, and we might be headed for a Minority Report future where you're charged and prosecuted for a murder that you didn't commit. Just because,
yeah, that's weird.
Just because their AI's data
gotten too,
their data said, we think you probably will, so you're under arrest and going to prison for the
AI's
rest of your
gotten
life.
too crazy. Way, way too crazy. It is the Junk Drawer on 105.3 The Fan. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt. Do you do this as a texter and do not do this anymore as a texter? In a survey of American texters aged 18 to 65, 90% say they use abbreviations regularly in their daily texts. Now,
abbreves, you might say.
Abbreves, I would say. Like OMG, LOL. Like, that's what I use. My kids are different. They use NGL, not gonna lie. Or IKR. I know, right?
ONG.
On God.
On God.
But 84% believe the abbreviation either made a positive impact on how the recipient perceived the message or had none at all. However, simply including a text abbreviation makes it feel as though you're brushing them off. So I'll tell you this. The easiest way to say F you to someone is just the letter K.
Oh, yeah. Respond.
That is so condescending. But people are saying that if you just write thanks, but THX, that is I don't really mean thank you.
Yeah, I could see that. That's how I feel.
I've never wrote that, I don't think.
THX?
No.
I think I've done it very rarely if I'm like driving and I want to acknowledge somebody really fast. So I'll just be like THX. But if I send that, that's because I'm busy. If I'm typically, if I'm being passive aggressive and I want to say thank, I will type out thanks and put a period on the end of it. A period for a one
a
word.
Period.
A period for a one word text to me is that's me saying bleep you.
Yeah, a period. Yes.
So it's like, can you do this? Okay, period. Thanks, period. Like, yep. Instead of just leaving it, thanks or okay.
Yeah.
If there's a period, if I'm putting punctuation there, like a period for one word, that's me going like, that's the end of the conversation. I don't want to hear from you anymore.
The only punctuation I ever use is like a question mark, exclamation. I'd never use a period.
Yeah, you use OMG all the time, though. You do.
I do use it a lot. When I have nothing else to say.
That's kind of just your...
It's not condescending. It's just like, I like this, but at the moment, I'm not clever enough to come up with anything.
You
want to
acknowledge it.
Yeah.
You just don't have commentary for it.
Right.
So you just go, OMG.
My brain is not working. I don't really have anything clever to say. If I don't have anything clever to say, I feel like I'm letting the group down. So I just write OMG to show that I got it.
My father-in-law sends TY as thank you, says the 972. Would you consider TY...
That's a little like you're bothering me. Hmm. Like, you know, like that's I'm kind of mad at you. Don't really bother me right now. I think TY is on the, it's not passive aggressive, I wouldn't say. It's just like, you know, I don't really want to deal with you right now.
When you see YT, do you see that as YouTube? Or do you
see
that as
white?
Somebody, I was gonna say, do you see that as somebody
saying white,
trying to slip past filters to say white, or YT is also what it could be.
Yeah,
so it's both of them. You do that. All right. Have you ever walked into a grocery store, as we do the junk tour here on 105.3 The Fan? Have you ever walked into a grocery store and thought to yourself, "God, not this song. I feel like leaving the store now because I hate this song that's playing over the speaker so much." Have you ever felt that way?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think you have a lot of aggression towards music. You seem like pretty easy to get along with.
I like every genre, I think, except maybe I don't get like the death growl music.
Oh, like the screamo stuff or the
The metal that's right. Yeah, that one. Yeah. Like that one. I mean, I like heavy metal, but not like death growl metal.
So I do. There's a lot that I do hate music wise. Peyton, what's a song like if you heard it in the grocery store, you'd be like, I might leave this store right now if I haven't started shopping yet.
Hot to go. Hot to go.
What?
It was fine the first.
HOTTOTO.
The first 90 times I heard it.
That's
but it's
hot
like,
to toe.
But it's everywhere now. It's run its course. Let's move on to another song.
I'm at that point a little bit with Pink Pony Club. It was catchy, and it still is catchy, but I have heard it a lot now. No, the song for me would be Nina Sky, Move Your Body.
Ooh, move your body, girl. Make the fellas go. Ooh, the way you ride it.
I hate that song. And then the Move Your Body, Move Your Body. I cannot say it's on a loop for 3 minutes, and it feels like Sherry Lewis singing the song that never ends.
This is the song that never ends.
That's the pop version of that song. Well, imagine if you were working in a store.
I mean,
and you couldn't leave.
That's the worst. Mm-hmm. I worked at Sports Authority at Grapevine Mills Mall. Back in the day, we would get a new CD every month, and they just put the CD on, and that played on repeat for the entire month.
And it drove you nuts, didn't it?
It drove you nuts because it was only about 2 hours of, you had an 8 hour shift. You heard every song 4 times.
Maybe that's why you didn't tighten those tennis rackets tightly enough, Chop. That might have been the reason. Ohio State researchers have discovered that background music playing in retail stores that employees don't like greatly affects their productivity.
I can see that.
It's a problem. It says that when background music at a workplace is out of sync with what workers need to do their jobs, it can affect their energy, their mood, and even performance, and can lead employees to feel more fatigued, have trouble focusing, and not really enjoy being at work. So when you throw someone, you remember they joked about this in 40-Year-Old Virgin. They kept playing that Michael McDonald disc in the store the whole time, and Paul Rudd's like, I'm gonna lose my mind if I hear this thing one more time. Who's Michael McDonald, Payton?
No idea.
Yeah, he sings that song that I keep forget. But this is Ohio State's basically saying variety, get some feedback from your employees, find out what they want to listen to. That should be the case anyway. Like they don't just throw on whatever music at Cowboys practice. They ask the players, what do you like? Y'all make a playlist here for training camp. We'll put on your music so you're locked in. Ask your employees.
Ask your employees.
Guys, what do you
man.
Want to listen to? We'll put that on.
Amen.
You want the ox? You want the ox? Timmy? That's what you should be doing.
Timmy?
I don't know. It was the first name I came up with.
Timmy?
Yeah. I was thinking of Timmy from Whitest Kids You Know.
So my kids asked me, my oldest asked me what the names of my close friends were when I was a kid. And I said they were, let's see, it was the three D's. It was Doug, Don, and Dave. And they were like, "That's the oldest names ever." And I'm like,
"Is Dave old?"
I'm like, "Dave?"
Two of my brothers, I have a Doug. Well, Dougie. We call him Dougie. I have a Dougie and a Davey.
Dougie. Yeah, we call him Dougie too.
We have Dougie and Davey in my family.
And those are the oldest names ever. I'm like, I'm sorry, all the names, sorry, Aiden, that you shoehorn a Y into today are just gonna be so cool.
You think I shouldn't have a Y in my name? I should be IE, like I'm Bobby Wygant.
I think it's very difficult to be an adult male with a Y at the end of your name.
I am though.
Bobby,
instead of Bobby Wygant,
Jimmy, Joey,
469. I worked at Best Buy in the home theater department, and they played Backstreet Boys, "You Are My Fire" all day. Well, I wouldn't mind that.
That's not bad.
You are my fire, the one desire. I could stand that. I could stand listening to that all day.
Very nice. That is the Junk Drawer here on 105 Through the Fan. This was the commercial-free expressway, the HOV portion of this commercial-free expressway brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Plano. Why the Rangers need to be the next team to do this with one of their young stars. Diamond Cavs next on the Fan.